Okay, you're dialing tonight. First, I should say tonight's daf is sponsored by Larry Horn on the occasional yahrzeit of his father, Moshe Chaim ben Shlomo Lieb. And it's also sponsored by Rafi Meidi on the occasional yahrzeit of his father, Rachman ben Mani. And it's also sponsored by myself and on the occasional yahrzeit of my grandmother, Yenta Chava, but Shlomo Zalman, from the Bracha. All right. Anyway, we're in Daf Yudalit. Let's take a look. So I'll begin. We got quite a bit, thank God, last night. We're around the fifth very wide line on Yudalit Amud Aleph. Okay, so 14a, the fifth very wide line. And we're still talking a little bit about Yadot. Yadot, if you remember, is, let's say, like the stem of a fruit. It could also be the handle of a keli. And that could be a conduit to and from Tuma. But you have to want the stem. You have to want the handle. If you don't want it, it changes the whole situation. So the Gemara says, "Gufa klidora ochlin." So here the Gemara is quoting a Mishnah that we did yesterday from Sechet Uchsin. This piece of Gemara we really, in essence, did yesterday, but the Gemara goes over it. "Gufa klidora ochlin shibisasan begoren tohorot." The Mishnah says, "Ul yadora ochlin." It means, let's say, you have a stalk of grain. So the grain is the food. The grain is the davar shemekabel tuma, and the stalk would be, the stalks would constitute yadot, that would be yad or yadot. So kol yadot ochlin shebesasen begorin tor. If I broke them up in the threshing floor, now it's not a conduit anymore because I'm showing that I don't want it. So it's not a conduit for tuma. Rabbi Yossi Mintami. Rabbi Yossi says, no, it's still yadot. It's still a conduit for tuma. So the Gemara asks, my besasen, what does the word besasen mean in the Mishnah? Rabbi Yochanan Amar besasen mamish. Rabbi Yochanan says it means Shuto Kamashpo, that he broke it up. Reb Lazar Omer, Hitir Agdan. Reb Lazar says he loosened up the binds. In other words, it was bound together, the grain was bound together. He loosened up the tines, and so it will be free to go. So the Gemara says, Bishlem Reb Lazar, Damar, Besasan, Hitir Agdan, Hainu Dimitami, Reb Yossi. So according to Reb Lazar, I can understand the Mishnah. In essence, he's not doing a big masa, he's not doing any masa really with the food itself, with the stalk and the grain. The only thing is he's untying it, but he didn't impact the item itself. So therefore, the Tanakhama holds that my machshava turned it into a yad, and my machshava takes it out of a yad. And the Tana Rabbi Yossi says, nothing doing. Your machshava turned it into a yad. You're going to need a maaseh to take it out of a yad. That's the way we understand the Mishnah. Ella Rabbi Yochanan, the Amar, b'sasen mamish. But according to Rabbi Yochanan, who says it means I broke it up, I broke up the stalks. Am I mitami Rabbi Yossi? Why does Rabbi Yossi still insist that it's still a yad? If he's breaking it up, he obviously doesn't want it anymore. Why does Rabbi Yossi still say it's tami according to Rabbi Yochanan? I'm Rabbi Shimon Lakish. So Rabbi Shimon Lakish, which is Reish Lakish, says, Hoil ru'uyol hofkan be'eter. Even though I've broken it up, I'm still happy with the stem somewhat. Because if I take my pitchfork, I could dig it into the straw and the grains and move it from place to place, you know, but if the thing is totally broken, then I can't do that. So I am somewhat still happy with it. And that would be the svara for why Rabbi Yossi would hold that it's still to be a yad. Now, let's just see a little Rashi, and then I'll do a few more lines, and then we'll take some questions, comments, and thoughts, okay? So let's look at the Rashi, the third wide line downstairs. So we said that if it means the sasan that he just, you know, unbound the tie, so then Mishum Hachim in Tami Rabbi Yossi, that's where Rabbi Yossi says it's still a conduit for Tuma. Because he holds that a small action like just untying it doesn't negate the status of being Yadot. Then Rashi says, Sha'alti et Mori, I asked my Rebbe. Now he doesn't say who the Rebbe is. One of Rashi's Rebbe was Rabbi Yaakov ben Yakar, but I don't know who he specifically was here. Sha'alti et Mori, mi gufa de Mishnah, de mighty agav gerar b'shmaitin. So I asked on the Mishnah itself that the Gemara is quoting here, which we just did, that was the Mishnah of Sechet Uksin. Mishayef amit ne gufa ki de gar sinan b'meimrot ha'amorayim. So today's Gemara was introduced with the statement gufa. So gufa usually introduces a statement of Amoraim. Here, the Gemara used gufa to introduce a Mishnah from Masechet Uchsin. In other words, the Gemara usually quotes Amoraim. Then we say gufa, we quoted these Amoraim. Here, the Gemara says gufa to introduce a Mishnah, which is very atypical. And that's what Rashi asks his Rebbe. But Amarli Rebbe, and my Rebbe said, Mishum tahach Mishnah min ha-taharot, she'ein mehem shum Gemara ba'olam. he said that you're right, but this, since this Mishnah is from Seder Taharot, Seder Taharot has no Gemaras in it. I mean, the only thing we have Masechet Nida that has Gemara, but the other Masechet don't have Gemaras in them. So this is from Masechet Oxen. It has just Mishnayot with no Gemara in it. It's not like explicated like other Mishnayot. So here, my Rebbe said, therefore the Gemara uses the term Gufa even by Mishnah, because this Mishnah, we're going to introduce an explanation of the Mishnah, and the Mishnayot don't have any explanation of it. So we're going to say Gufa. In other words, the Ikar is the explanation. That's Gufa. You're right. It is a Mishnah, but there's no explanation of it in that Masechta. So we introduce it by Gufa. All right? Let me just do three more lines in the Gemara, and then we will pause, and then we'll take questions, comments, and thoughts. Okay? So let's do the next piece of Gemara. So the Gemara says, we're up to Amar Ablazar. And again, it's corrected on the side, Amar Ablazar. he says, actually, the Gemara says over there, Amar Rab Yitzchak. The other ones were Ablazar, but I'm going to do Ablazar here as well. I think that's the way the article had it with Ablazar. Right? The article has Ablazar. So Amar Ablazar, what do they have? Yeah, I have it. It's on the side. Yeah, I see it. It's in the margin, Amar Ablazar. Yes, so this is also corrected to Ablazar. So Amar Ablazar, Laman Mishlat Tefillah Tanch Tzadikim Ke'eter. Why is the tefillah, the prayer of Tzadikim, compared to an eter? An eter is a pitchfork. Now, he's referring to a pasuk in the beginning of Parshas Toldot. So the beginning of Parshas Toldot, Yitzchak and Rivka are praying for a child. It says, Vayitar Yitzchak Lashem Lenochach Iko. That Yitzchak prayed to Hashem opposite his wife, and Rashi brings down, based on Chazal, they were each in a different corner of the room. So it's Lenochach Ishto, Vayitar Lo Hashem. And Hashem answered his tefillah. And then Rashi talks about why his tefillah was answered, not her tefillah. And he says, they know Domain thing, Tefillah Tzadik Ben Tzadik, Tefillah Tzadik, you know, Tzedeket Bat Rasha. Or we're on Yud Dalet Amud Aleph, around the 10th very wide line, a few lines before the Mishnah, 14a. Okay? So he says back in the Gemara, Amar Blazar, Namun Shalat Tefillah Tanch Tzadikim Ke'eter. Why is the Tefillah of Tzadikim compared to an Eter, pitchfork? In other words, the Gemara is connecting the Tefillah, in other words, by Yatar Lo Hashem, by Yatar Hashem, to pray with the word Eter, which means a pitchfork. Lomar Lachama, Eter is a Mahapecha Tefuah Begorin Makom Makom. Just like a pitchfork, you turn over the Tefuah and move it from place to place on the threshing floor. So too, the Tefillah of Tzadikim changes like the perspective. It doesn't mean like literally, but in other words, it's able to affect a difference in the attitude of a Kadosh Baruch Hu, their Tefillah. He says, Hashem wants to exhibit his Mida of Achzarius, which is, you know, more callous, more tougher, like Mida Sadin, and then through their Tefillah, they get meat at rachamim. So it's like an eter. It's like the pitchfork. And I believe the Rabbi Bachya quotes this, I think, in the beginning of Parshas Toldot. I remember once Rav Lerner quoting that. Okay, who's had questions, comments, or thoughts on anything that we did so far? Everybody good? Okay, let's move on. Okay, so we're up to the next Mishnah on Yudalet Amud Aleph. Okay, so Manitin. Now again, we don't understand this Mishnah, and we all must be very patient. So Manitin, Mesachachin b'Nesarin de Rabbi Yehuda. So the Tana Rabbi Yehuda says you can use boards as chach. A board is, you do like karka, it's in Davarshin Makabal Tuma, and I can use the board as chach. Rabbi Meir was here. Rabbi Meir says prohibited to use the boards as chach. Now the Gemara is going to have a machloket what the Pshat in the Mishnah is. So either the Pshat in the Mishnah is that it's talking about boards that are greater than four tefachim, in other words, wide boards greater than four tefachim. Four tefachim, we would say it's like four inches for a tefach, so like 16 inches wide. So Reb Meir holds the Zegzera Tikra, that Zegzera, which we'll see in the Gemara, that we're concerned that if I allow a person the sukkah with these wide boards, he'll think to himself, my house has also got wide boards for a roof, so yeah, I might as well stay in my house. And in that thing, the house might be made out of, you know, the ceiling might be made out of those boards, but since he lives in the house the whole year, it doesn't qualify as a sukkah, notwithstanding that otherwise it would be in conformity. But and Rabbi Yehuda says, no, there is no such gezeira. He doesn't subscribe to that gezeira de Rabbanan. This would be a rabbinic prohibition to sit in a sukkah with Nisarim more than four tefachim. That's one shot. Or the other pshat that we'll see in the Gemara, which Shmuel is going to say, is that everybody agrees that the boards are greater than four tefachim, that you do run afoul of gzeirah derabbanan. Everybody agrees that there is a rabbinic prohibition for gzeirah tikra, but there's a machloket if the boards are between three and four tefachim. And that's what the Mishnah is talking about, boards that are, say, three and a half tefachim in width, and there, Rabbi Yehuda holds there's no problem with it, and Rabbi Meir says there is a problem with it. And the Gemara will explain that Rabbi Yehuda holds no problem with it because we never see a Rishus that's, you know, smaller than four tefachim, you know, like we have a Shabbos, it's four tefachim by four tefachim. And Rabbi Meir holds, you're right, there's no Rishus, but there's still significant space because by Lavud. Lavud, what I'm, you know, normally space is quoted, closed in if it's less than three tefachim. So once I have greater than three tefachim, I can't use Lavud. That's a significant space. So in Achinami, he holds, even in that circumstance, there's a gzera of tikra. Okay? So we don't know what the Pshat in the Mishnah is, and we're going to have to see in the Gemara. Then the Tana says, Natanala Neser Shurachav Arba Tfachim Shera. If you put a plank that's four tefachim wide, and we think this is a Liba de Kuliyama, and the Gemara will have questions on it. So if you put a plank that's four tefachim wide, Shera, meaning the Sukkah is still Kashra Sukkah, but he can't sleep underneath that neser. The Gemara is going, or the way Rashi understands Pshat, it means that this plank was put flush with the wall. So it's put flush with the wall, it's like Dofen Akuma. Dofen Akuma, remember, we can have things that would be like wall material, then it goes up on the schach, so that doesn't passel the sukkah, but you can't sleep or, you know, do any mitzvah underneath that part. That's what we think the Pshat in the Mishnah is. Okay, who's got questions, comments, or thoughts on anything I did so far? Say again, what? In other words, like, let's say this is the wall of Sukkah, and the board, imagine this would be the board. The board is, like, right here, flush with the wall. So it's, for, in other words, what here? In other words, this is where the board is. So I can't be right underneath here, but it's still kosher Sukkah, because it's Dofen Akuma, okay? All right, and there must be a picture in here. Is there a picture or not? There must be a picture, because, and you have all the Perush Chayes also. Let me open the picture books. Let me see if we have pictures for people.
Page 45, the first one is the
right, Nisan. All right, one minute. Yeah.
It's 149. Okay.
You got one for you and everything else here. Now, one second. Yeah, so I have in the Perush Chai here. Wait, you can share that one. Let me give the Perush Chai here. Oh, you got one? Okay, good. You have it. Okay, so you're good. Okay, here you go. Okay, now, all right, let's go further. I'm going further than the Gemara now. All right. So everybody, let's say again, what? In what sense? Wow. Right. So the Gemara is going to ask that question. The Gemara is going to say that according to Shmuel, everybody agrees if it's more than four tefachim, it's not allowed. According to the way Shmuel understands the Mishnah, the only machloka is between three and four tefachim. But more than four tefachim, everybody agrees is not allowed. So according to Shmuel, the last part is not a problem. And according to Rav is going to say it's not a Liba de Kuliyama, it's just a Liba de Rav Meir. But we'll see in the Gemara. So the Gemara says, Amarav, Rav says, Machloket ben Asarim Shish ben Arba'a. Machloket in the Mishnah is with boards that are at least four tefachim in width. Rav Meir it like Gzeira Tikra. Rav Meir, who asters them, says it's a Gzeira Tikra. Gzeira means like from your roof. And if I let you sit in a sukkah like this and say, you know what, my house has also got boards like that, I'll stay in the house, but the house is not a kasha sukkah. He says, Rabbi Yehuda, late like Gzeira Tikra. And Rabbi Yehuda, according to this Ukimta, doesn't hold from Gzeira Tikra. He doesn't subscribe that there is such a rabbinic prohibition. Aval ben Esarim she'in behin arba'a, but with boards that are less than four tefachim, divriya kol kshira. Everybody holds as kasha. Okay, that's the first way to understand the Mishnah. Then Shmuel Amar, Shmuel says, "B'she'ein mehin arba machlok." The machlok it is, it's going to be when it's between three and four tefachim. Aval yesh mehin arba, if they have four tefachim, if they're four tefachim wide, divrei kol pasula. Everybody holds its pasul then, according to Shmuel. So, and of course, according to Shmuel, everybody subscribes to the idea of Gzeira Tikra. He says, "Ein mehin arba." So the Gemara says there's less than four, even less than three tefachim. I explained it according to the Maskana. The Gemara doesn't understand. Ibn Nabar could be even less than three tefachim. That's just like whole six. So I can't use anything for my schach. So Amar Papa Haki Kamar. The Papa says this is what Shmuel meant. Yesh ben arba debrei kol psula. If it's got four tefachim, everybody agrees that's pasul. Pachot mishlosha, less than three, divrei kol kshera. Everybody holds its kasher. My taima kind of ba'almanu, because it's just like poles. He says, ki pligi, the machloket, according to Shmuel, between Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Meir, is ad arba, meaning between three and four tfachim. Mar savar kimlet na ushir makom lo gazrinan. Rabbi Yehuda holds, since between three and four tfachim doesn't constitute a makom rishus anywhere in halacha. It's less than four tfachim. So we never see that it's called the rishus. So he says, so there's no gzera derabanan. In other words, it's not large enough that we should make this gzera. Umar savar, the other one, which is Rameir holds, look, it is still a significant type of board since it's not lavud anymore. Lavud is if you have less than three tfachim, and there's a space, we can close it up using lavud, which is a halakha l'mashim Sinai. So since this size is, in other words, it's so spaced, if it would be empty space, it would be outside the area of lavud. In other words, it would break up a wall. So he says, gazrina. So we make a gzera. That's according to Rameir. Okay, let me just do a few more lines, and then I will pause on a few lines, and we'll all ask questions and discuss. So the Gemara asked Tanam, we learned the Mishnah, and this, I think, is alluding to what Yosef was asking, the end of the Mishnah. The Mishnah said, if a person took a board that was four tefachim in width, so the only shear in the sukkah, in this Mishnah that's given, is the last part of the Mishnah. The beginning part of the Mishnah doesn't mention shear three tefachim, four tefachim, anything like that. But at the end of the Mishnah, it says, if I put a board that was four tefachim in width, so the sukkah is still kosher, provided you don't sleep on that neser, meaning it's kosher sukkah, but I can't, you know, do any of the mitzvah sukkah underneath that board. And we said, we're talking the way Rashi understands that the board is like flush with the wall, so it comes under dofen akumu, which is another halakha Moshe Sinai, that if you have up to four amot and it's flush with the wall, it doesn't pass the sukkah, but you can't sit underneath that dofen akumu. So b'shleim of the Shmuel, the amar b'shleim b'hin arba machloket, so according to Shmuel, who says the machloket is when it's less than four tfachim. But it's more than four tfachim, everybody agrees that's pasul. In other words, it's pasul skah. So mishum ha'akil rishan taktav. So everybody agrees, if I have a plank that's more than four tfachim or greater, so it's pasul skah. So I understand, I can't sleep under there. Everything's good. Hunky dory. Both Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Meir agree with that. And the whole mishum makes sense according to Shmuel. He says, el l'rab da'amar b'sheshman or ba machloket. But according to Rav, who says the machloket is even when it's four tefachim, five or six tefachim, Rav, according to Rav, Rav Yehuda does not subscribe to Gzeira Tikra. So if it's not four tefachim, it's kasher, Rav Yehuda may lo yishan tachtav. So according to the, we assume right now that this line is leave it to Kuliyama, that both Tanaim, Sai Rav Yehuda, Sai Rav Meir, agree with that last line in the Mishnah. So if that's the case, if Rav Yehuda subscribes that even a plank that's wider than four tefachim can be used for schach, why would he say, don't sleep under that plank that's four tefachim? So the Gemara says, Misavar Divrei HaKol. What makes you think that that's Divrei HaKol, that everybody agrees that last line of the Mishnah? Seifa Tan the Rameir. Rav will say, the last line of the Mishnah is going to lead the Rameir. You're right, it is a machloket, and last line. Okay, let's just summarize what we did. Then we'll take, okay. Let me repeat everything I said, and then we will take questions, comments, and thoughts, okay? All right. So we're being introduced to Gzeira Tikra. Gzeira Tikra is the Gzeira against using roofing material that's similar to what I would use in a house. Right? All right? In other words, so I'm afraid, and there's machloket, what the parameters of this machloket are, but Gzeira Tikra is, let's say if I hold, let me say the machloket, then I'll go over Gzeira Tikra. So according to Rav, the machloket is, Rabbi Yehuda says that any size plank you use on the sukkah, there's no limitation on it. And Rameir says, no, a plank that's four tefachim or more, I can't use in the sukkah. That's according to Rav. And Rav will explain, the Rameir subscribes to Gzeira Tikra, that there's a Gzeira that if I tell somebody he could, you know, eat in the sukkah, sleep in the sukkah, and the ceiling consists of planks that are four tefachim or greater, the person might say, you know what, in my house, I got the same thing set up. The ceiling in my house, I also have planks that are four tefachim. So why do I need to bother going to sukkah? I'll stay in my house. So, but as a matter of halacha, I can't do the mitzvah sukkah in the place that I reside the whole year. That's it. It can't be my bayit. Okay? That's according to Rav. And then, according to Shmuel, everyone subscribes to Gzeiras Tikra. According to Shmuel, if it's more than four tefachim, both Rabbi Yehuda and Rav Meir say that's pasul stock because of Gzeiras Tikra. But there's a machloket in a prat if the if the border is between 3 and 4 tefachim. There, Rabbi Yehuda says, nothing doing. There's no gzera tikra. And the Gemara says, because I never see that Rishus is called anything less than 4 tefachim, and we'll have to explain more on this, but it means the Chum didn't make a gzera when it's less than 4 tefachim, because there's never any Rishus. In other words, like a chash of makom is 4 tefachim. This is less than that, so they didn't make any gzera. And Meir says, right, you're right about the makom. I can't disagree with you on that. But there's the concept of labud. Labud is when I have a space that's less than 3 tefachim, so labud says I can view it as being closed off. When it's space greater than 3 tefachim, I can't view it as being closed off anymore. So I see that amount of space is chashuv, even though it's less than 4 tefachim, but it's greater than 3 tefachim. So Meir says that we have a gzera in that case as well. And that's the way, according to Shmuel, the way Shmuel learned. Then the Gemara asks Yosef's question. The last line of the Mishnah says that I can't sleep under a board that's 4 tefachim. So according to Shmuel and Sin, everybody agrees, 4 tefachim, that's a kiss of death. Both Rabbi Meir agree with that. But according to Rav, Rabbi Yehuda says, no, even more like 4 tefachim is fine. So the Gemara says, what makes you think that line is according to everybody? Rav will say that line goes according to Rabbi Meir, not according to Rabbi Yehuda. Okay, who's got questions, comments, or thoughts on anything we did so far? Roof. All right? Right. Tikra might be ceiling. I don't know.
It's all right. Ceiling in modern Hebrew.
Okay. Ceiling. Oh, yeah. Ceiling. What? Ah. Right. Wait. In other words, we're not going to do schach with lava. Schach was a different shear. It has to be silta meruba mifamata. But in terms of the walls, we see an idea of lavud. So since we see that concept of lavud, we see that in lavud, if something is greater than 3 tefachim, it's a significant space. So we're going to carry that over, according to one of Kimta, according to Shmuel, according to Rameir, and carry that over to the Gzera of Tikra. Okay? All right. Now I want to get through this difficult Gemara. There's more to say from all these sheets, but let me get through the difficult part, and then we'll see how we all do. Okay? Is everybody good so far? Okay, let's keep moving. All right, so we're going to ask. So again, we have two ways to understand the Mishnah: Rav and Shmuel. So Gemara is going to try to ask questions to be mevarer, both studim and see if one is better than the other. So Tashma. So we quote from the following Braisa. Before I do this Braisa, you have to know that when it comes to a sukkah, if I have a strip of 4 tefachim of schach pasul, that's close to the kiss of death. You understand what I'm saying? So if I have, let's see, this is the sukkah, and across the middle I have a strip that's 4 tefachim from end to end, that's like a Berlin wall that would break up the sukkah. So if I have 4 walls and then I have the Berlin wall, so I have 2 kosher sukkahs, underneath won't be kosher, but then I have, but if let's say I have 3 walls and then I got this Berlin wall, now I have just a pasul sukkah. The sukkah's not good anymore. You got that? Okay, let's go further. Now, so the Bryce says, Tashma, Shnei Sadina Mitzdarkin. Now, let's say I have 2 sheets. The sheets are Davar Shem and Kabal Tuma. It could be Gidule Karka, right? Like the flax or whatever, but it's a Kaili, so it's Kabal Tuma. So Shnei Sadina Mitzdarkin. It means these 2 Sadinim, let's say I have 1 sheet will be a strip that's 2 Tvachim. Another sheet will be a strip that's 2 Tvachim. Together, when I put them flush next to one another, I have a space of 4 tefachim with schach pasul. So shnei sadim are mitzarvim. They're mitzarvim to give me the cheer of 4 tefachim, which is the kiss of death with the sukkah. Turn page on Amud Beis. He says, and here's the one we really need, shnei nisarim ain mitzarvim. But 2 planks are not mitzarvim to create 4 tefachim. And that's going to be according to Rabbi Yehuda, and we'll have to clarify. Rameir Omer af Nisarim Kisadinim. Rameir says, no, the Nisarim, the planks, are like the Sadinim. So the issue is, can the planks accumulate? Can the planks accumulate? And I have Pasol. So in other words, I have a plank that's Pasol, but then when I add them up, I end up with more than 4 Tfachim with Schach Pasol. So the Gemara says, B'shleim l'shmuel da'amar b'shein ben arba machloket. So the Gemara says, this Braisa is readily understandable according to Shmuel, who says the machloket is when there's less than 4 tefachim. Oh, yesh ben arba debrei kol psula. More than 4, everybody agrees psula. My mitztarfin is dinli arba. In other words, we'll understand the brisa that the Bryce is talking about boards that are between 3 and 4 tefachim in width. The Tana Rabbi Yehuda holds that that is good tzchach. So if I have a board that's say 3 and a half tefachim and another board that's 3 and a half tefachim, those two are not mitzarev to create a psul of 4 tefachim, because according to Rabbi Yehuda, I can cover the whole ceiling with the boards that are 3 and a half tefachim, according to Shmuel. Right? Fern, you okay? Okay, let's see if we keep going. 1 minute. So he says, and then Remeir Omer Afnasarim Kisadinim. Remeir says, no, that each individual board is 3 and a half tefachim is schach pasol, and schach pasol accumulates. So I have schach pasol, that's, you know, let's say a board that's 3 and a half tefachim, another board that's 3 and a half tefachim. Now I have a space that's 7 tefachim, and so now then so accumulates. It's mitzarev. So the Braisa makes sense according to Shmuel. Is everybody good with that? Everybody good with that? Speak now forever, hold your peace. Okay, now, El Rav, but according to Rav, the Amar B'shish Ben Arba Machloket, according to Rav, the whole Machloket is when their planks are already 4 tefachim or greater. That's the only Machloket. So he says, Aval'ein Ben Arba D'Rei Kol Kshira, less than 4, it's kosher. Sahei Chidami, what is going to be the case with boards? We're focusing on the boards, where boards are mitztaref to create an area that's 4 tefachim psul. Id itbuhu arba'a lamal hulitz terufe. Now, if there's greater than 4 tefachim, so according to Rav, Rabbi Yehuda holds it's kosher, according to Shmuel holds it's not good. So, but there's nothing to be mitztaref. Mitztaref means I have A and B, I'm going to add it together, right? But so in other words, let's say I have a board that's 5 tefachim in width. So Rabbi Yehuda would say that's kosher schach. Nothing to talk about mitztareif because it's kosher. And Remeir will say that single board is pasul schach, but there's nothing to talk about mitztareif. There's one board, it'll take down the sukkah. He says, e delayt behu arba'a, and if it's less than 4 tefachim, so with me, Michael, if it's less than 4 tefachim in width, am I, so then what would be the problem about mitztareif? In other words, everybody agrees in this ukemta with point to Rav, if it's less than 4 tefachim, I have a green light to use it for schach. There's nothing to add up. Everything's kosher, kosher, kosher. So according to Rav, I have difficulty understanding the brisa. So the Gemara says, Le'olam di'itbu arba. So Rav will say, in Akinami, the brisa is talking about boards that are 4 tefachim or greater. My mitztarpin, what does it mean that it's mitztarif that accumulates, adds on? In other words, in the Bryce, the top line, the first beginning is Rebbe Yehuda. Rebbe Yehuda says they're not mitzarev. Remeir says they are mitzarev. Now, the only machloket we have is when it's greater than 4 tefachim. So if it's talking about creating a psul, 4 tefachim, there's nothing to be mitzarev. It's greater than 4 tefachim. You're there already. You're not going to add up with it. So the Gemara says, umay mitzarefin arba amot minatzad. That means that according to Rebbe Yehuda, the boards are kosher. I have the boards, and I can make a whole little ceiling with it. But according to Remeir, where they're not kosher, you're right, I don't need to be mitztaref in the middle of the sukkah, but I could be mitztaref min atzad. If I'm flush with the wall, and then I have the dofen akuma. Remember, dofen akuma permits me to have schach pasul up to dalet amot on the ceiling. Not that I could sit under there, but I could have up to dalet amot and still have a kosher sukkah. That's what dofen akuma permits. So Rav will say that the Bryce is talking about such an ukimta, that the boards are like flush with the wall and being placed one next to another. And Mamela, the Quinter Mayor, then when I do enough of those boards, I end up with dofen akuma. When I go beyond that, I'm in trouble. I'm going to have to tzuris. That's the shot in the Bryce. Okay? Everybody good? Everybody good? All right, one more Lashon. Shai is still with us? Okay. All right, let me keep moving with this. All right, Lishna Acharina. Now, the Gemara has a different version of the discussion we just had. Again, dealing with how we're going to explain the Braisa according to Rav and Shmuel, the same Braisa according to Rav and Shmuel. All right? So Lishna Acharina. B'shleim l'Shmuel da'amar b'she'im ben arba machloket. So according to Shmuel, who says that the machloket is between 3 and 4 tefachim, but more than 4 tefachim, everybody's psula, my mitztarfin. So what does it mean that they have machloket, whether it's mitztaref or not mitztaref? So here the Gemara gives a different answer than it did above. He says, mitztarfin li'arbaot minatzad. That was the answer that we gave in the earlier ukemta according to Rav. Here the Gemara is explaining the Brice according to Shmuel that way, that it's talking about being mitztaref for the Dofen Akuma. So when it says that we're talking about between three and four tfachim, so the Gemara is saying that it'll be mitztaref according to Rebbe Meir to eventually constitute Arba Amot Minatzad. El Rav, now, how will Rav explain the Brice? Bishlem the Rebbe Meir, my mitztarefin, mitztarefin, Arba Amot Minatzad. Now, Rav says that the whole machloket is above four tfachim. So Remeir, I don't have problems. This the way this is saying. In other words, we're taking the answer from before. In other words, that Remeir will say it's talking about it'll accumulate for the dalet amo for dofen akuma lor ba'am mitzad. El Rabbi Yehuda d'amar fil yishben arba kshera. But according to the Tana Rabbi Yehuda, it says even four tfachim is kasher. My aim is tarfin. Now, my aim is tarfin, meaning obviously if I hold it's kasher, there's nothing to be mitztarev. So what is he saying? Ain mitztarfin. So he says, my aim is tarfin. It's like kosher schach. So the Gemara says, you're right. But I need to come Remeir mitztarfin. It means since Remeir said it is mitztarev, I'm a Rabbi Yehuda aim mitztarfin. But in Achinami, quench Rabbi Yehuda, it's a green light. Okay. So that was the most difficult part of today's daf. All right. Now I think we're going to time. Let me just, Let me just do a few more lines here, and then I'll get through this whole piece, and then we'll do some sheets, and then we'll come back, okay? So again, we have the machloka between Rav and Shmuel, how to understand our mission. According to Rav, Rav Yehuda does not subscribe to the idea of Gzeira Tikra, and Remeir does, but Remeir only holds from more than four tefachim. And according to Shmuel, everybody subscribes to the idea of Gzeira Tikra, but some people subscribe more than others. So according to Rabbi Yehuda, it's only when it's above four tefachim. According to Remeir, it's even above three tefachim would be Gzeira Tikra. So the Gemara says, on midway down the column on your Dalam and base, Tani Kabati Darab. We learn a Brisa that's on all fours with Rav's Hesber. So Rav, remember, said that one holds from Gzeira Tikra and one does not hold from it. So the Brisa says, Sichcha ben Asarim Shel Erez, if a person covered his sukkah with boards of a cedar tree, She'ein ben Arba, that don't have four tefachim, says divrei hakol kshera. Everybody holds it's kosher. It's a kosher sukkah. There's less than four tefachim, not a problem. Yesh ben arba. The Brisa says if they have four tefachim, Remeir posel. Remeir says now you're in trouble because you have zir tikra. Rabbi Yehuda machshir. Rabbi Yehuda says no, it's a kosher sukkah. That's straight like Rav. That's pretty good for Rav. You got a Brisa all dead on. Now the Brisa continues. I'm a Rabbi Yehuda. Now Rabbi Yehuda is relating a ma'isa to support his way. Rabbi Yehuda says that. That there is no gzeiras tikra, as Rabbi Yehuda says. So I'm Rabbi Yehuda, ma'aseh b'shara sakana. Rabbi Yehuda says there was an incident, b'shara sakana, and Rashi says, let's look at the Rashi, around the 10th narrow line from the ceiling, b'shara sakana, shigazru ha'obdi kokavim gzeira l'mitzvot. The non-Jews made gzeira that Jews shouldn't observe mitzvot, so they can't go around like building a sukkah so openly. So he says, ma'as back in the Gemara, ma'aseh b'shara sakana, shivenu nisarim shuben arba. So we brought these planks that had four tefachim in width, like the goyim don't know sukkahs on the building a house, whatever. So I put the planks up. The sichachtu al gabi merpeset, and we covered the merpeset, and merpeset then is now, it means a patio. The ashavdu tachtayan, and we dwelt underneath it, and everybody was good with it. And that's what the Tana Rabbi Yehuda is saying. That's a raya, according to me, that there is no problem with having nisarim that are greater than four tefachim. So Amru Lo, so the Chachamim said back to Rabbi Yehuda, and these Chachamim were supporters of Rabbi Meir. They said to him, Misham Raya, that's your proof? He says, Ain Shara Sakana Raya. Shara Sakana is not a proof. If Shara Sakana, the Chachamim could relax their Takano. In other words, they could relax it, and they may have said that, you know, Shara Sakana, we don't have a Gzeira. So the fact that you remember that everybody was doing this and it wasn't even a controversial issue, it could be that it was b'shasa sakana. That doesn't prove anything. All right. But that b'risa, though, the first part of the b'risa clearly shows like Rav, that the machloket follows the contours the way Rav set it up. Okay. Now, the next b'risa is going to be the other way around, Tani Kamati Shmuel. This b'risa is going to go like Shmuel. Just to repeat again, Shmuel holds, everybody holds Gzeira Tikra when it's more than four tefachim, and the machloket is between three and four tefachim. Tani kibatid Shmuel, sichacha ben asarim shel erez, sheish ben arba. If you use for schach boards of a cedar tree, it's interesting the cedar tree, they have, you know, like cedar trees in Lebanon today. I don't know if there's so many cedar trees in Eretz Yisrael today, are there? You know? I don't know if there's so many cedar trees in Eretz Yisrael today, but I guess there's Man Chazal, there must have been, right? So he says, Sichachab in Esarm Shal Erez, Shish Ben Arba'am. So they covered the sukkah with boards that are fourth fachim width, Divrei HaKol Psula. Everybody agrees this pasul. That's going so far good for Shmuel. Ein Ben Arba'am, if it's not fourth fachim, i.e. between three and fourth fachim, with Meir Posel, Rabbi Yehuda Machir. Meir says it's pasul, Rabbi Yehuda Machir. So that's what right like Shmuel. Umoda Rav Meir, but Rav Meir agrees. Now here's the key part. Let's focus, and we need our picture books for this. Let's get the nice picture book out open. We need the picture book. Let's get picture book.
I think it's 152.
One second. I'm going to be looking for...
53.
I'm looking for a different picture. One second.
Oh, no, it's...
I'm looking for picture 159. Okay? Let's take a look. Okay. Now, and I have the Perish Chai here also. Perish Chai is not bad. It doesn't have the colors, but it's got nice pshat, not nice pshat here. Okay, Umod Rameir, Kimiyish Bein Neser L'Neser, Mo Neser. Now, Rameir, so that part of the Bryce approved according to Shmuel. But the Gemara says Rameir, again, Rameir says more than four definitely pasul, but even three and a half also pasul. More than three is pasul. But Umod Rameir, Kimiyish Bein Neser L'Neser, Kimlo Neser. Now, here it's talking about a sukkah, when this comes up later in the Gemara, which is exactly 8 amot by 8 amot. So Rameir agrees that if I put down one neser, and then I put an equal space of kosher skah, so it's going to be like a zebra sukkah, okay? So I have one plank, which is pasul skah. Then I have the equivalent space of kosher skah. Then I have another plank, treif skah. Then I have another space of kosher skah. And I do the same thing from the other wall. And in the middle, I get a space of 8 tfachim, or whatever it is, or 7 tfachim of kosher schach. In the middle, I have a space like that. So it's going to come out on the sides, it'll be like dofen akuma. But in the middle, I'll have a kosher sukkah, because I'll have 7 tfachim of kosher schach in the middle. That's where we're headed with it. Right, and that's what you'll have. If you look in the picture book, the picture that I'm interested in is 159 in the colored picture book. But if you have, here's a nice Perish Chai one, which is very nice. Let me get it here. This is picture here. I'll put it over here if you can see it. I don't know if you can see.
It's similar to the one in the art scroll.
Okay, you get the idea. Okay, let's see back in the Gemara. So let's see back. So the Gemara says, now, psal doesn't mean pasol. Psal means like the schach is called psal. Psolet goren v'yakev. In other words, the waste from the threshing floor and the wine vat. That's what we learned the other night in Daf Yomi. So the psal means the kosher schach. So he says, Umoda Rabbi Huda, and Rabbi Huda agrees. Now, Rabbi Huda agrees, Shimnatana le Neser Shurachab Arbat Fachim Kshera Ve'ini Shenim Tachtav. Rabbi Huda agrees. Now, again, this is going within Rameir. Rameir holds that they both agree that four Tfachim is the kiss of death. But Rameir agrees, if I put a Neser, which is four Tfachim in width, the kshera, it's like we learned in the mission, the sukkah is kshera, ve'ini shein tachtav, v'ashein tachtav lo yasei dechovato. Meaning, it's the same as we learned in the mission. If I put the plank and I do it flush with the wall, so it's still kosher sukkah, even though Rabbi Yehuda agrees that that's like pasul schach, because it works with dov and akuma, I still have a kosher sukkah. You got it?
What if
and then, yeah. So for the Dofen Akuma, I need to look into that. Okay, I don't have an answer for you right now on that. Okay. Now,
what was the question? Why it works with the Dofen Akuma? Dofen
Akuma, if Dofen Akuma can even be, you see. Yeah, I have to check. In other words, can Dofen Akuma even be when you begin with kosher schach and then convert to trefschak, as long as you wouldn't dalet amo to the wall. So I need to check on that. We have, in essence, we have that. I need to look more into that, okay? All right, now.
But why does the Dofen Akuma work with the Treif Schach on it? The Dofen Akuma is, you're talking about the wall being bent, right?
In other words, Dofen Akuma is teaching me that if I have Treif Schach, but the Treif Schach is flush with the wall, I can
view perpendicular.
I can view it as a Dofen Akuma, and then I have a kosher sukkah in the middle. So Dofen Akuma goes up to Dalet Amot. That's a big help. It means that the first four Amot, I can say they're not part of the roof. They're part of the wall.
Length of this.
Right. Okay. All right. Now, let me just do some things for the sheets, and then we'll wrap up the Daf. All right. Let's see what it's doing. All right. Now, Rameir says that one may not cover his sukkah with Nisarim boards. We went through the whole machloket. Now, according to Shmuel's interpretation, the Mishnah will agree in review to the four tefach boards of Pasul. Now, the Goat Maimoniot writes that today the ban, the Gzera Tikra, applies to all boards and slats, even narrow ones, because it is common to build a house roof with boards which are much narrower than four tefachim. So according to the Goat Maimoniot, any slat would be Pasul to use on as the Scha. The Ran, citing the Gemara Bava Metzia on Kuf Yud Zayin, maintains that even in Talmudic times, many roofs were made with narrow boards. Nevertheless, since due to the temporary nature of a sukkah, it was common to use narrow rather than wide boards for schach, the sages were concerned with an onlooker confusing a sukkah with a house only if it's covered with wide boards. In other words, wide boards they would use in a house. Small boards they would use in maybe in a sukkah, wouldn't use in a house. But the wide boards, that's uniquely for a house. So if I would use wide boards, that would be confused. But the small boards, they had never made a Gzera Tikra for. He says, according to the Ran, the fact that today it is common to use narrow boards for house roofs does not affect the halacha because this was common in Talmudic times as well. So according to the Ran, they always used small slats, but people weren't concerned, like, oh, this is sukkah, that's sukkah. But a wide board, that's more typical for a house, so they were concerned about that. Now, the Smach disapproves of using slats and narrow boards for schach because of another reason. He's concerned that one may lay the boards very tightly together and prevent the rain from entering the sukkah. And as mentioned above on that base, Tosfos says that a rainproof sukkah is pasul. The Taz expresses a similar concern with regard to straw. He writes that even though the pasuk expressly sanctions the use of straw as tach, so Doran V'yekev, grain scraps, you see above on Daf Yud, people usually use willow branches and the like rather than straw because if straw is packed tightly, rain is prevented from entering the sukkah. Okay, now, there's a whole to do about using like the small slats, and this is from the Daf Digest. He quotes, okay. Now the Shulchan Aruch rules in accordance with Shmuel's understanding of Rabbi Yehuda. Therefore, he writes that one may not use boards that are four tefachim wide for schach, except if we use boards smaller than four tefachim. So the Mechaber Paskins like the Tan Rabbi Yehuda, Aliba, the Shmuel. In other words, so Shmuel says the machloket is between three and four tefachim, but we're Paskining according to Rabbi Yehuda, and Rabbi Yehuda holds it's only a problem with more than four tefachim according to Shmuel, and that's the way the Mechaber. Maybe you're still with us. That's the way the Mechaber Paskins and Shulchan Aruch, like Rabbi Yehuda. He then adds that custom dictates that we do not use boards even smaller than four tefachim for schach, but he says the minhag is not to avoid all boards. The Mishnah Berurah explains that the basis for the custom is a concern that one may use boards that will prevent rain from entering the sukkah. So in other words, even if I get away from this problem of Gzera Tikra, I'm concerned that people will make like a waterproof sukkah. That's the problem, according to the Mishnah Berurah. All right, so that's what we have to talk about. And the Mishnah Berurah adds that in the opinion of some Rishonim, it would be rabbinically prohibited rather than just custom to use boards for schach, since people use these boards to construct the roofs. Therefore, in consideration of both positions, one should not use even thin slats for schach. Although the concern of it resembling a roof does not apply, nonetheless, there's a concern when we'll place the schach down in a way that will prevent rain from entering the sukkah. Accordingly, there are those who challenge the common use of thin wooden slats for schach. Seemingly, the Mishnah Berurah's comments restrict the use of these boards. The Tzitzeliever writes that in support of the widespread custom to use these slats, the reason is because people no longer use these boards to make their roofs, which leaves us the only concern, the issue mentioned by the Mishnah Berurah concerning rain. This is not an issue because experience shows that slats that people use for schach do not prevent rain from entering the sukkah, no matter how close the slats are placed to one another. Therefore, the basis for the custom no longer applies and the slats are permitted for use. That's what I just said. Yeah. All right, you have to go now. Okay, you're heading to the Shiva home, right? All right. Bye-bye, Michael. All right. I'm going to move on. This is Daskal, his neighbor. All right. So, I'm going to continue on in the Gemara, okay? All right. We're on Yudalan Amud Beis, around 10 lines from the bottom, okay? Okay, so we're 20 lines from the bottom. Okay, let me show you nobody's here because I don't want anybody. Okay, good. Okay, so the Gemara says, I'm looking for the spot. Itmar, Hapchan al Tzideyan. Now, whatever I say the machloket is, there's clearly a situation, at least according to Meir, many situations, but according to Shmuel, you know, there are situations where everybody subscribes to this Gezeiras Tikra. Let's say I take the board and I flip it over on its side. So if this would be the board, so if I lay it down this way, let's say it's fourth Bachem according to Shmuel, everybody agrees, bad news, Pasol. What will Shmuel say if I lay it down like this, you know, on its side? Everybody got it? On its narrow end, okay? Let's see, and I think we have some nice pictures with, here we have,
160.
Okay, you get the idea. As long as everybody understands it, and here's the Perush Chai, like that. Okay, let's see. So 160 you have? Okay, very nice. Okay, so let's see back on the Gemara. Anyway, so now the narrow end is less than four tefachim, clearly. So let's see back on the Gemara. Itmar, Hafchan al Tzidei, and Rav Huna Amar Psula. Rav Huna says it's still Pasul. In other words, since it's Pasul on one side, the whole thing is Pasul. In other words, it doesn't matter what you do with it. Pasul Skach is Pasul Skach. Rav Chista, Rav Huna Amrik Shera. Rav Chista and Rav Huna say it's Kasher. So Ikla Rav Nachman the Surah. Rav Nachman came to Surah. Rav Nachman was like Gedol Ador. He comes to Surah. Ula Gabe Rav Chista, Rav Huna. So Rav Chista and Rav Huna, who held that on its side it's Kasher, they went to Rav Nachman to see if Rav Nachman will agree with them. Amrilei, they said to him, Hafkan al Tzidein Mao. If you put the schach, you know, the sarim on their sides, what's the halacha? Amar lehu psula, nasu kishvud mishamatekat. He says it's psula because it's like shvud mishamatekat. It means shvud mishamatekat is like the metal, what do you call it? A spit, like a metal spit. So metal spit, no matter what you do with it, it's pasul. So here too, this thing is pasul schach. Doesn't matter what you do with it, it's pasul. So Amar lehu Rav Huna. Then Rav Huna apparently learned of this or whatever. No, Rav Huna was not one of the chachamim that we mentioned was there. We said that Rav Huna said psula, and Rav Chista Rav Huna said it was kshera. Then Rav Nachman came, and the two chachamim who were matir, they came to ask Rav Nachman. Maybe Rav Huna was there. So Amar lehu Rav Huna. Rav Huna said to those chachamim, lo amri lehu amri kibati. Now, there's two different ways you could interpret this line, which is, didn't I say to you that he would say as I said? Didn't I tell you that Rav Nachman would rule the way I ruled, that is Pasul? Or, lo amri lehu, didn't I say to you that you should adopt my opinion? In other words, not, you're doing your own thing, you're a different opinion. I said it's Pasul. So Amrulei, they said to him, did you give us the reason for it? All you said was Pasul. You didn't tell us why, what, where, for. So you didn't give us as far as. So we just hear, it's like, just like a ruling. So we had some questions on it. So Amar Lahu, so if you would have asked me, I would have told you. You know, but the point is, I don't know the Sfaras, so then that's what they were saying. Now the Gemara says, now, we said that Rav Huna says it's psula when it's on its side. So the Gemara says, Lame Osayale. Should we say the following brisa supports Rav Huna? The brisa is talking about different ukimtas where the sukkah is pasul. It says, if the sukkah doesn't not large enough for his head, most of his body is shulchan, meaning less than 7 tefachim by 7 tefachim, we know that's a recipe for pasulas. Ocean nifritzaba pirza. Or in the wall, there's an opening in the wall, meaning that a gedi, like a kid of the animal variety, could leap through it, you know, easily. So it means if it means 3 tefachim. So if I have a wall that's greater than 3 tefachim from the ground, so the wall is not a kosher wall anymore. right? In other words, what's that? No. In other words, let's say I have a sukkah with four walls on it. And let's say one of the walls doesn't go to the ground. Let's say one of the walls is lifted up three tefachim or more from the ground. So the gedi could get easily in that space. That wall is pasul. It doesn't count as a kosher wall. And if that wall was necessary for the sukkah, you have pasul sukkah. Okay, that's not the part we need, though. Then he says, oh, shenatan le'neser shurachav abar tefachim, afa pishloch nisa tzotoka el shlosh tefachim sula. Here's the part that interests us in the Brisa. If you have a plank or a board that's four tefachim wide, even though shlohichnis latocha, we think it means that it occupies the space. Mayor, are you still with us? It occupies the space. Okay, so it occupies the space of three tefachim. It's still psula. So hechidami, how can a four tefach board occupy a space of three tefachim? My love, don't you have kanal tzidim? So the only way we think is if I turn on its side, and on the side, so we have four tefachim on one dimension, three tefachim on the other, and the brisa then is saying, pasul. So that's a raya mufrechet according to Rav Huna. So the Gemara says, lo, not necessarily the taste. Hachmayaskinan kunta amcha apuma dimitalalta. It could be that he's got the four tefach board. Excuse me. All right. He's got the four tefach board and he puts it on the edge of the sukkah and it's extending one tefach outside the sukkah. So three tefachim are covering within the four corners of the sukkah and one tefach outside the sukkah. Now, you have to assume here that we'll have a sukkah that's a minimum shear of seven tefachim by seven tefachim. Okay? Assume all that to be the case. So let's take a look. The ayel tlaf of the gav, three tefachim, it's on the inside of the sukkah. Va'apikad labar, and the one tefach is extending outside the sukkah. Da'abalei psal yotzei min ha'sukkah. That psal gan means schach that's going outside of the sukkah. V'chol psal yotzei min ha'sukkah nidon k'sukkah. So the Gemara learns that if I have up to a tefach schach, so I can, even though this, in other words, there must be a picture here with this. 1 minute.
Yes. Right.
Okay. Everybody's got pictures of this. Okay. 161?
161,
okay. 162. Okay, 161 is a good one. Very nice. Okay, 161. And then here's the Hirish Chai picture. I don't know if you can see. Okay. Anyway, so the idea is like this. So let's say I would have a regular sukkah, and it has kosher schach all over the place. And now the schach protrudes a tefach over the edge. I can eat under that tefach that protrudes, the little psal, the amount that protrudes. That's considered part of the sukkah still. You understand? Let's start again. Here, let's say, there, wait a minute. Okay. This will be the roof of the sukkah. This is the roof of the sukkah. Okay? And now I have some schach that extends one tefach beyond the roof, the walls are here. This shows where the walls are, and this is the border of the sukkah. And now I have some schach that extends one tefach beyond the walls. I have schach that extends one tefach beyond the walls. I can eat underneath that tefach. That's considered still to be part of the sukkah. I can see it under that one tefach. Now, the Gemara is saying, if I have a sukkah that's exactly seven tefachim by seven tefachim, and now I put this board on the sukkah, and three of the tefachim are covering sukkah, and one tefach is outside the sukkah, that's still going to pass on the sukkah. Because in other words, but it's only a majority. In other words, the psula is according. It could be for four tefachim, but since it's a four tefach board and it's viewed as like all part of the roof of the sukkah, even the tefach that's outside is viewed as part of the sukkah. So now it's going to be like schach psula. Now they won't have a kosher sukkah anymore. Wait, let's go roll. This piece is like it's not there, and I need at least seven tefachim that are kosher. So if it would be a 10 tefach sukkah, you know, then it would be kosher because I have seven tefachim in kashrut and three in pasas. But this counts as trait. So let's get back in the Gemara. Let's just wrap this up. So Gemara says, he says, v'apikad the bar, d'habli psal yotzim in a sukkah, but psal yotzim in a sukkah, and he don't kisukkah. So it means the schach that comes out is still viewed as part of the sukkah. That being the case, So I have Tzchach Pasul on this whole board, even though it's only three Tfakim that seem to cover it, but it's really all four are considered to cover the Sukkah. So that's the whole thing is Tzchach Pasul. The whole thing is like it's not there anymore. Okay.
So they took a good thing, turned it on its head, and it's not good anymore. Because it would have been good if it were kosher Tzchach, it's now bad because it's not kosher Tzchach.
I mean,
because it's considered part of the Sukkah.
I mean, again, we have a Sukkah that's seven Tfakim by seven Tfakim. And I have, let's say, four tefachim with kosher schach, and then the remaining three tefachim, I'm filling up with this board, three tefachim, and then one tefach over the line. So now the whole thing goes down the tubes because we view that whole thing as not kosher schach. Okay, let me. Okay, now learning tonight was Lilui Neshama. Thank you. Tell me about it. Okay, the learning tonight was Lilui Neshama of Larry Horn's father, Moshe Chaim and Shlomo Leib Zichron Levracha, and Lilui Neshama of Rafi Mehdi's father, that's Rachamim Ben Mani, and Lilui Neshama of my grandmother, Yenta Chava Bat Shlomo Zalman, Zichron Levracha. Let me end the recording.